When I travel, I usually plan to arrive at the airport with just enough time to get through security and arrive at the gate in time for boarding. This week, though, my flight was delayed, and I found myself in a busy airport terminal, wondering about some of the people around me. There was a young man giving a phone interview for a new job. A woman with a long white hanging bag watching expectantly for someone to join her. A man fast asleep on the floor with a tiny newborn also fast asleep on his chest. And an older couple who spoke quietly to each other and held a folded American flag on their laps. Ordinary travelers whose lives intersected briefly. Ordinary people, just like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We know very little about these two. They are not big names in the Gospels. Cleopas is mentioned nowhere else, and the second has no name at all. Some scholars believe that she was a woman. And we don't know why these two are going to Emmaus. Maybe to put some physical distance between themselves and the horrible events of the previous 3 days. We do know that they are weighed down with the shock and the grief of Jesus' death, analyzing and discussing and trying to make sense out of everything that's happened. They had hoped that Jesus was the one who would redeem Israel and make everything new. But they don't hope anymore. Jesus is dead, the tomb is empty, and the women's astounding tales of angelic visions are confusing. I suspect that as they walk, these two disciples don't notice anyone else on the road. They are so full of their sadness and fear. So it's no surprise that when Jesus comes near, they are unable to recognize him. He is just a stranger. A stranger who has somehow missed the big and terrible news about the death of Jesus of Nazareth, but who can nonetheless trace the expectation of a suffering Messiah back to the prophets. This stranger is clearly compelling to them because his theological talk distracts them from their grief on that long walk to Emmaus. But he remains a stranger, just another traveler whose life intersects briefly with theirs. Until they invite him to stay with them, and they sit down at the table together. When this stranger takes bread and blesses it and breaks it and gives it to them, their eyes are opened, and they recognize Jesus among them. It's a thrilling moment, but it's mysterious too. What is it that opens their eyes? The way he blesses the bread and offers it to them might have reminded them of that Passover meal that they shared with him, or when Jesus fed the multitudes with only a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish. But I think it goes much deeper than that. There is something about the way these two weary travelers reach outside of their sorrow to notice that this stranger may need a place to stay at the end of the day. And so they invite him in. And there is something about the way Jesus offers them the bread they hunger for, and the way they extend their hands in thanksgiving. Something about that flow of inviting and offering and receiving with gratitude opens their eyes to Jesus' presence among them. A presence that has been there all along, but they couldn't see it. A presence that remains with them now, renews their hope, and sends them running back up the road to Jerusalem to share the good news with the others gathered there. The Lord is risen indeed. God is with us, they proclaim. And 2,000 years later, and half a world away, we say the same. The Lord is risen indeed. God is with us. And every time we celebrate the Eucharist, we practice this flow of inviting God's presence and receiving it with gratitude. We set the table and then discover that we are the guests and God is the host. We pray, be known to us, Lord Jesus, in the breaking of the bread, remembering the experience of those travelers on the road to Emmaus, and claiming it as our spiritual history. It's our story too. And we practice this flow of inviting and receiving God's presence here in church so that we're able to do the same thing in our daily lives. And that's not always easy, feeling God's presence, with the preoccupations and distractions that keep us from being fully present to what is right in front of us. The person we are with, the ground we're standing on, the trees that give shelter, and the food that nourishes us. This is what spiritual teachers mean when they say, wake up, wake up. Pay attention to our ordinary experience, because it is there that we will find the infinite, the holy. And it is how we invite God's presence into our life. And we receive that presence that is always there when we respond with gratitude to the gifts of being alive. Whether we are happy or sad, rejoicing or grieving, we can give thanks for each day. And when we don't take our lives for granted, but marvel at the generosity and the wonder of it all, we encounter the giver behind the gift. This week, when the trees came down around the perimeter of the cathedral, we could see more clearly the holes and the scars in the exterior walls that were never intended to be exposed to the elements and that make the recladding of this building so necessary. It was a little unsettling. And I wondered about the people who celebrated the first Eucharist here. It was in Thompson Chapel in the third week of Easter in 1931. And here we are in the third week of Easter, 86 years later. And I wondered about all those since who have come to this place bringing their prayers of thanksgiving and hope, as well as their needs for strength and renewal. Ordinary travelers, seeking God's presence, receiving God's gifts, and returning them with gratitude. We take our place in that spiritual history too, with the commitment of this community to complete the work that was begun almost 100 years ago. It will be so joyful to see the walls clad in limestone and to see the new trees planted around campus. It is truly an exciting time. And change, even desired and expected change, can be unsettling. Which is why we come together today, celebrating the Feast of St. Mark, to hear the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, trusting that the loving, renewing presence of God still walks alongside all of us, the new father, the bride, the solemn couple that I saw at the airport, all of you and me. God walks alongside us. God's presence is always available to us, whether we feel it or not. And it is that presence that promises strength and nourishment for the journey ahead. Amen.